That title probably can bring up a whole lot of different thoughts. Maybe remember back in something and your parents were saying, watch out, or don't do that. Or there's a lot of things that can come from those two words. I would like to invite you to join me in prayer so that God may share what his thoughts are on those words. Loving Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God, the triune unity of God, we thank you so very much for all the myriad of things you do for us. And I honestly believe we don't catch most of them, but you still are there. You still are watching over us. You care and have a plan for each one. And God, I ask that you would take the message today, that you use it in each individual, that they would understand and hear it as you have prepared it directly for them. And God, I just thank you for all the gift of life that you give. And God, I just praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Again, the title, Watch Out. What are we to watch out for? Does the Bible talk about that? And yes, it does. We're going to begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. When you study into Mark, chapter 13, it is referred to as the little apocalypse. It has a unique apocalyptic verbiage in how it's portrayed. We commonly think of Revelations or Daniel as using a lot of apocalyptic language. It is also used here in chapter 13. So as we embark on this, realize that that is part of what God has planned for us. In verse 1, as he came out of the temple, that would be Jesus coming out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what large stones, what large buildings. Some of the stones range from 50 feet by 24 feet by 16 feet. That's a block of stone. And this picture I took in 2020, we're in Jerusalem. This is under the Temple Mount. This is one of the corners under where the temple would have been. And it's amazing to think, how in the world did they ever get stones laid in the way they did? But it happened. And so this disciple is pointing out, this is pretty awesome. The reality is, Jesus wasn't really impressed. It wasn't something that jumped out at him. Then in verse 2, Jesus asked him, do you see these great buildings that he was pointing out? Not one stone will be left here upon another, and all will be thrown down. And the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. This is the base underneath it. In verse 3, when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately. And to kind of get a perspective, the Mount of Olives was to the east of the old city. So it was setting that way. And then the Temple Mount and the temple would have been on the west. Between the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount is Kidron Valley. And it's 200 plus feet below where I would be standing at the temple area. So you go down and then back up, because they were watching. They could see from the Mount of Olives the temple. And that picture is of the Dome of the Rock, which is reported to have been placed on the foundation or the area of the Temple Mount. So sitting in the Mount of Olives as this picture was taken, you look and you see the Temple Mount, but the Kidron Valley is a big valley that drops down. So hiking that, you get your exercise, and it is a very steep walk both ways. The question that they pose to Jesus, tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished. Clear back then, they wanted a sign. We want signs. Everybody wants some indication, something that we can look at and say, okay, this is coming or this is next. In reality, the disciples were looking for someone to save them from their Roman oppressors. And none of us in this room probably can even grasp what it would be like to be in a nation that was ruled by some other country, some other nation. You're subject to all of their rules and laws. And so they wanted out from under the Roman oppression. They were looking for a Messiah to rescue them. Reality, they're going, what's the sign? What will change? They wanted God to share what was next. Then in verse 5, then Jesus began to say to them, beware that no one leads you astray. In essence, he's saying, be watchful. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. Jesus told them not to seek rescue and salvation from human saviors, for they will always end up misleading the people who follow them. This is the thing that I really hope that you can take away with you for today. Only Jesus can save you. Not some government, not some person in the government, not some leader, whether it's here or abroad, only Jesus can save. Where do you put your trust, or whom do you put your trust in? And that's a very valid question right now in this country. Verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. I grew up in a church that was emphasized a whole different way, at least in my home from my parent. There was this fear that was constant. Every time you heard something new happening somewhere else, there was this, it ratcheted up this emotion, particularly in the Middle East. And in my lifetime, there's been a whole lot of things happen around the world, in the Middle East specifically. But he says, do not be alarmed. Are you impacted by the events of the world? Does it ratchet up anxiety and fear? I still get phone calls about that very thing. Have you seen the news today? Yeah. I can't change what's going on. God has a plan. And that's what he's talking about. Do not be alarmed. It's got to take place. It's a part of the overall plan. But the end is still to come. It's not stopped. We are progressing right along the plan that God has for all of us, for the world. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is the beginning of birth pangs. Do I like to hear news about that kind of stuff? No. But even for the most part, in this country, we're removed from a lot of that. We have been. It's a part of our life. We've grown up knowing and hearing about wars and rumors of wars and nations attacking other nations. Vietnam would be the only one that I can equate to. Korea and World War I and II predated me. But it would have, do not be alarmed. I'm sure that there were people thinking this is the end. But it's only the beginning. beginning of birth pangs. And that can be a little unsettling until you dial back and say, Jesus saves me. You put that in your trust, it's set in your heart, and you don't move from that. You don't let anyone sway you from that. Jesus saves each one of us. Don't be distressed by any of these things. And that's so easy because, especially today with the news media, everything is sensationalized. Everything is blown up. But in reality, is it any different? There have been wars and rumors of wars for thousands of years. It's all part of God's process, of God's redeeming his creation. We're going to shift now to Hebrews 10. We're going to go back and pick up a little bit of where we left off for the last few weeks. In Hebrews 10, Jesus is the high priest who offered himself. We've covered that once and for all. There's no plan B. There's no second high priest coming. It's done. It's happened and it's finished. Now, we don't live in the ultimate reality of that finish, but we are in that finish with Jesus. Jesus is the only person who was able to take away our sins. No other man, no other leader, not your best friend, can take those sins away. Jesus did it with his death. His blood covered it all. He is the only person that frees us from the tyrannies of this world, of which there are many. And yet, so easy to fall into the trappings of this person or this entity or this government is going to save. Jesus is that. We watch human kingdoms and human leaders rise and fall. And the world seems to be falling in disarray. It's far different than the world I grew up in high school, for example. 50 years makes a lot of difference. And the world is there. It's changing. It's degrading. It's doing a lot of things. Jesus does not change. Can I bank on that? Yes. Do I bank on that? I sure hope I am. I'm trying. There's still times that things will trip me up, but I have to always dial back to Jesus is the one because he doesn't change. There is nothing that cannot be brought to Jesus. We can share anything and everything with Jesus. There are pieces of each one of us, I'm sure, many of times we've forgotten, that when you think of it, you can share it with him and he will help you work through whatever it is. You don't have to worry about, oh, this is such a negative thing. Jesus is there. When you think about, this is the approach that I would recommend. Don't hold anything back. Don't keep pieces back. Lay it out there. Let Jesus know where you are. He already does. It's not like you're going to surprise him. He wants to know. And the ultimate thing in sharing with someone, you always wonder, can I trust them to keep the secret? Can I trust them to not divulge this or share it? Jesus can be trusted no matter what it is. He can be trusted. Always, always be trusted. In verse 21, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You could put in the word confidence of faith, guarantee of faith, a promise that is there of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. The without wavering is a real challenge. Some days you feel like you're trying to drink out of a fire hose. It's just hitting you constantly, and you just, when's this going to stop? Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. That's Jesus. Do we see Jesus in that light, that he is our all in all and our all end all? And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Now, I struggled a little bit with provoke. Seems a bit negative to me, that you're going to go provoke somebody to do something. Maybe let's use the term elicit or inspire, prompt. That to me is much more favorable. But the point of it is to get to the love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. I want to stop right there for a second. Over the last few weeks, I've mentioned different things, maybe during the week to go back and look at or to reread or whatever. Do you, and this is rhetorical, no hands, please, do you encourage other people? Maybe you do things for them and never say, or do it privately where they don't know. How many of us, when we go to the mailbox and there's a personal card to you, what do you feel like? Does it make you feel pretty good to actually get a card with your name on it that someone took the time to write to you? Not an email, not a text, not a phone call, but something that you can tangibly hold on to and reread again and again. And it picks you up. There's such a positive feeling to know that someone thought enough about me or you to write a positive thing. Do we encourage one another? Do we take the opportunity to do so? And all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, every day, week, month, or year can bring on new challenges for us. Maybe this was your year for your health to kind of slide a little bit. I know last 2 weeks I was doing some things that I didn't think too much about, but my back has still never recovered from it. It still barks and grabs. That's a new challenge. That's not one that I signed up for, but it's one that I have. Each day can bring on a challenge. Maybe it's a family member, your neighbor. Do we encourage each other? We all need it. We absolutely all need that. Our calling is to do what Jesus told his original followers to do. I'm going to give you two things. Share with others what we know of Jesus and his kingdom. And that is a big ask sometimes, to share who Jesus and his kingdom is. You know, it's not that you're telling them, this is what you need to believe. This is what I believe. When you share in that vein, they may not like what you're sharing, but you're not telling them they have to do this. You're telling them, this is what I lead my life with. Know of Jesus and his kingdom, and share the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you do that? Yeah. Will you do that? That's between you and God. If you're asking for those opportunities, those divine moments, be prepared. God will bring those to you. And you get the opportunity in that time to share where you stand with Jesus, what you believe in Jesus. He is the only one that can save. Let us, with Jesus and by the Spirit, be about our Father's business every day. As we get up in the morning, maybe a quick prayer if mornings aren't your time to pray, maybe just, God, direct my paths today. Put the opportunities in front of me that you want me to go through and give me the wisdom and strength to do them. Very simple, very to the point. And then at the end of the day, God, I wasn't thinking about that, but thank you for the opportunity. You use it as you see fit. So let us, with Jesus and by his Spirit, be about the Father's business. If you'd bow your heads. Again, Father, we are so blessed by Jesus and the Spirit that moves in our lives, that directs and helps us on a daily basis. And God, thank you for our Savior, for Jesus, who is making the way possible for every human. God, be with each one of us as we approach each day this week and beyond. God, that we can look to you and listen to what you want us to do. Give us the strength to step into maybe a role that we're not comfortable with. But God, you are everything. And we praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Which brings us to the Lord's Supper, communion. It's a powerful thing. But as I've said in the recent weeks, it's really simplistic. It's really not go down to the river and wash your eyes seven times or do. There's not a lot of barriers or major things for us to do, but he's made it available to us. So I'm going to read Mark 14 because we started in Mark and I thought we could finish with Mark today. Verses 22 through 25. And I just ask that you would just listen to the words. While Jesus and his disciples were eating, he took a loaf of bread. Can you picture that? A loaf of bread that he's got in his hand. He thanked God for it. Then he broke the bread into pieces. He gave some of it to each of his disciples. Take this bread and eat it. He said to them, this is my body. Then he took a cup, a chalice that they would have had. And he thanked God for the wine in the cup. Then he gave the cup to them and they all drank of it. Now we don't have a single cup up here that we just pass around, but the imagery is still the same. We are drinking from the fruit of the vine and eating bread that he has provided. Verse 24, Jesus said to them, this is my blood that shows God's promise. When I die, my blood will pour out of my body. In that way, God will save many people. That is the promise that God makes because of my death. I tell you this, I will not drink wine again until God rules in his kingdom. Then it will be new wine. Jesus has provided everything for us. He's our Savior, and he wants us to respond to him. As we come forward, think about Jesus. What has he done for you? As you come to the table, and in imagery, you are drinking his blood and eating his body. Father God, as we come to the table, the communion table, the blessing of Jesus a sacrifice that changed our lives forever. God, I ask that you would bless the elements, the bread and the wine, the fruit of the vine. And God, that you would help each one of us, that you would speak to each one of us individually what you want us to come to the table and think about. And God, I just praise you again and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come to the table as you feel led.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our high priest. Guide us to deepen our relationship with him. Help us to trust him and live confidently in his reconciliation and redemption. Amen. And finally, from Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Have a great week.